I want you to do that. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to take, we're changing priesthood. Say, we're changing priesthood. We're changing the order of priesthood. Amen? Say, I'm a king. Say that with me. Say, the Lord, it says in Revelation, he's made us kings and priests unto God. Say, I'm a king. I've been made that way. I'm not talking about what you deserve. God made you a king. And he made you a priest unto God. And there's a change of priesthood, I'm telling you. And you can feel the intensity of God, that he's jealous for building his church. And that's you and me, amen? And he has a priesthood of believers. Say, a priesthood. And you're that priesthood. And we're not talking just in Revelation, amen? We're not just talking about, man, I have a positional place. I'm a priest. But it's for functioning. Say, functioning. Say, I'm going to begin to function. I want you to tell God that. I'm going to begin to function in my priesthood. It's a functioning priesthood. It's not just a revelation that we're priests and we worship God. That's not the end of our priesthood. Say, new order priest. You got to know that was God's heart from the beginning. He said in Exodus when he went to the mountain, Moses did, type and shadow of Jesus, that he was worshiping God. And he said, I want a kingdom of priests. I want you to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy people that'll show forth the praises of him. Peter parroted the same thing Moses said. It was always meant to be like that. It was never meant to be just a man and people, not a priest and many people. It wasn't like that. It was a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of priests. And it began to change. And that was God's heart. And he released it to Moses at the highest time of their lives. In Exodus 19, he said, this is what you came to the mountain. This is what I want you to be. This is what I want my people to be. A holy nation. Say, a holy nation. Say, that's me. See, it's a people. And I see that there's a shift in the priesthood. And John the Baptist was the beginning of a new priesthood. Say, a new priesthood. The old priesthood, John's dad was worshiping in a temple. He was wearing priest garments. He never left that place and just stayed in there. And that was the order of priesthood. But here comes John the forerunner. Say, the forerunner. And he's prophesying a new priesthood. What God ordained way back in Exodus. He goes, I got a new priesthood. Not a bunch of priests that just stay in a building worshiping me. Nor just playing around with elements in there or outward things. My new priest is like John the Baptist, a forerunner. Say, John the Baptist. Say, I'm a priest after that order of John. He wasn't in the temple like his father was that was a priest. It was a new order of priesthood. He wasn't there. He was out in the wilderness. He wasn't among a bunch of religious. He was out there. He was not a part of any culture. Are you listening to me? Say, I'm not a part of any culture. My loyalties are to no culture. My loyalties are to no race. Not black, nor white, not Italian, not Mexican, not Puerto Rican. Whatever cans you want to add. No loyalty to a race. Are you hearing me? Nothing natural. Jesus Christ birthed the church. That's me and you. Say, that's me and you. He's the forerunner. Say, forerunner. The Bible says he's the firstborn among the dead that made us priests and kings. Changed the whole order. Nothing natural anymore. Do you know his doctrine is? Simple as this. You must be born again. That's Jesus, the firstborn, the head of the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's his doctrine. He goes, I don't want anyone natural. No one natural sees the kingdom. No one natural, nothing natural enters the kingdom. You want to enter the kingdom, you follow his way, amen? He's the firstborn among the dead. Not loyal to any culture. That's our priesthood. We don't relate to any culture. Nothing natural either. I mean nothing natural. It's in God and the Spirit. You look at the writings of Paul. Say, God, I'm a priest of a different order, of John. I don't wear priest of the old, I wear new. It says he wore camel's hair, a little bit something different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We worship God in here. That's not the end of the priesthood for us. We're priests and kings. We worship God out here. But John's thing was, I'm not in the temple. I'm out there. I'm not wearing what the temple wears. I'm wearing something a little bit different. And I'm bringing God to people. That's the priesthood. And the moment he brought the presence of God, he was the recommender. Say, recommender. The moment he brought the presence of God, here comes the kingdom of God. That's your priesthood. That's my priesthood. We bring the presence of God, automatically the kingdom of God is there. Are you hearing me? That's the priesthood. And you're not going to stop anymore. As we're prophesying and saying, and we're going through the word of God, and we're reading it, and he's revealing it to us. And he's showing his heart and his intent. I want priests, a priesthood. No longer are we going to stop at just a nice revelation. Amen? Tell your neighbor, I'm not stopping at a nice revelation. I'm going to begin to function. I got to begin to function in this. I got to begin to practice this, if you would. Say, God, I'm in. A new priesthood. Say, a new priesthood. Not like something old. Not just in here. Every time we come, we're worshiping God. But every time we're bringing the presence of God, the kingdom has come. I really believe God's making a shift for us. I believe he's poured out his word. He's broken it open richly to us for weeks and weeks here. And he's showing us his intent. And he's showing us his passion. And he's saying, this is my church. And you got to hear his heart. He says, I will build my church. Hear the passion of the Lord. And he says, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. He said, it's my church. And he told us in Ephesians through Paul, and he said, it's not a mystery anymore. And he goes, this is his church. What is to become? It's to become a reality, a body. It's to become a new man. It's to become a kingdom and a family, a bride and a warrior. That's what it is. He said, I want you to become that. It's not some church thing. I want you to become that. And he's going to reveal it to us to function in that. Say function. I want you to get it. Function in it. How do I begin to function? I get the revelation, then I begin to function. Tell the Lord, close your eyes. Say, I get your revelation. I hear your passion, Jesus. I hear what you're saying, Jesus. A holy priesthood, a holy nation. That's us. That's us. Say, that's me and you. That's the church. That's the holy nation in the earth. It's not a natural nation. We're the Israel of God. Hear me. Don't go back to nothing natural. God made you that way. He said, I birthed my church. I'm the firstborn among the dead. All those who are born again, black, white, Jew, Gentile, are a part of me. And I'm building this thing. Say, God, I'm going to begin to function. I got to begin to function. See the revelation, and I got to begin to function. Just drink it in for a moment, will you? Say, it's time for me to mean business with you, Lord. It's time for me to mean business. And I know it's blowing your mind away, and it may change your paradigm even, that you go, you know what, all my life I always thought I was going to go to church, and you know, the highest level of my walk in God was that I'd be a good guy and attend church. Say, not so. God saved you to build you. God saved you to build you. That's what Peter said. I'm a fisher of men, but I'm a builder. He saved you to build you, to build his church. Amen? That's you and me. Joseph had a dream. And I'm talking about the Joseph in here, not Joseph with a coat of many colors. And in this present, I want to make a shift and give you room, make room for you. And he had a dream, and I felt like it was very prophetic. And I said, like, he told me parts of it, and I trust his heart that he's going to reveal it as it came to him. God speaks to us through dreams sometimes, amen? So why don't you come make your way up here? It had a lot of prophetic significance.
Just wanted to share some stuff with you guys. You know, we've been progressing so much in this house for quite some time now, and it's very exciting, obviously, and he's showing us some things, and he's enlarging us all the time. He reveals himself to us, and we take a next step, and we take a next step, and in this dream, and I'll just kind of fill you in and then just go from there. In this dream, Craig's up at his post, and he's taking his notes, and you see him up here, and he gets inspired, and he's over here, and he's all serious business, because that's what happens. And we're all, as a family congregation, we're talking. You know, we're over here getting ready to get started, and we're fellowshipping like we always do. You know, I want to know how Arthur's doing. I want to know how Sharon's doing, the family, Trey and his family, everybody, Yancey, Brian. I want to know how everybody's doing. That's what we do. We're a family. And so we're preparing for a service, and we're just doing our family thing. And, you know, Craig kind of looks back at us and says, hey, you know, we all need to check our hearts here and just get ready to get to work. And it's not a bad thing, but I really feel like God is trying to bring us to the next step in this house. It's a progression, and we've seen different things of him and different angles that he shows us of himself. And we really just have to get those veils off of our eyes. And that's what really was revealed to me, is we might bring baggage in here, whether it's distraction. We've got all kinds of stuff going on at home or at work, or even just our unbelief or our doubt, maybe, as far as we don't understand how things work. But we have to bring that to the altar and not have that excess baggage when we come in here. If we need to, then we need to exercise that, because it says bring it to the altar. All of our cares and all of our problems, we can bring it to his feet. And we can do that if we need to exercise that. But I really feel like in order to move to the next thing, we have to let those things go and be completely free and completely focused on him when we're here. And all the time, but I mean, especially when we're here, because as you've seen how things work out, this is how we get prepared to go out there. And this is we're trying to make this a dwelling place for him. And we've been doing that, and we welcome him. But we can only get so far unless we do our end of the bargain. And I really feel like he's waiting on us to break through a few things. He wants to reveal as much as we'll allow him to. And we've got to do that. So in this dream, he looks back at us. And as soon as he says that, we get into prayer. And then we hit a wave and we're just, boom. We close our eyes and we get after it, because that's what we needed to do. And we release our hearts and we release those things. And from my view of the dream, when I open my eyes, people begin to enter this place. And people, strangers, people we don't know, and even people with high gifts and callings from other places, long distances they've traveled to be here, just to be a part of this place. And I really feel like, you know, we continue to do this, and we continue to move on to the next thing, that he has no choice but to bust through these walls. He's already doing it. There's so many vehicles that are being used to get this word out. This is such a genuine place in my heart that I feel that God will have no choice but to bust through this place, where people will just be attracted to come here. A perfect example this morning, you know, Danielle could have gone anywhere. She lives in Sanderson right now, and she wanted to come and visit while she's in town visiting family. There's 20 churches probably in Crane. She could have said, man, there's one right by my house. But she felt a draw, and thank God that she came in, because she was touched today. It's a perfect example of how God will work, and he's already working. But like I said, I don't want to be redundant or repeat myself. But in order to get to this next level, we've got to eliminate some things in our lives that are bringing distraction into this place while we're here. Like I said, and I really feel like some of it could be veils as far as not understanding. But a lot of it too is just your day-to-day lives. I mean, you got your families, you got your jobs. I'm guilty of it too. I come in here, you know, my mind works 100 miles an hour pretty much every day. Sometimes it doesn't stop, but you got to focus once you get in here. You got to be prepared to work and drop everything else, because we've given our lives to him. Exactly. That's what it is. I mean, he's sacrificed his life for us, and we have to work for him. And so that's all I wanted to really bring to you guys about that. I really feel like we're on the brink of a breakthrough, like another enlargement. Not saying that we're treading water or anything. We've come a long way. And who would not want to go further with this? I mean, this is what we're doing. That's why we're here. If we got to a point where we're like, this is good, man, this is all I want, I don't want to be here. You know, I'd rather go somewhere else that is continually hungry and striving. And I'm not saying this place isn't that. We are hungry. Everybody wants to continue to further the kingdom in this place. And so we just, like I said, it's just a little insight. I thank God for insight, and thank God for showing us things that he has for us. And I want to continue to increase. I mean, I want this place to bust wide open, and I want people to come in here that need this place and get touched, I just want lives to be changed. And so however we need to do that, let's get it going. And let's continue, because we've been doing good, but just we're on a brink, man. Just right on the edge of breaking through and busting this thing loose and seeing him in a way that we've never seen before. So there you go.
Anyone else? Obviously, it's anyone have a testimony on anything or want to add something to that or anything else on that before we shift gears? Yancy, you coming running down here ready to say something, huh? All right. All right. Okay. Well, let's try to make the shift here, eh? You open your Bibles to Revelations 2. No one has anything else, anything on their heart right now? A testimony? Oh, go ahead.
Actually, this is an insight into a testimony. And that was what Jared said last week about coming to a place. And I think it touches on what Joseph is saying about people coming in. People coming in and because they have a need. And they're coming in to get restored. They're coming in to get healed. They're coming in to bring they're bringing their hurts and leaving with rejoicing. And that's what we're about. We're about exchanging life for ashes, you know. And one of the things that Jared came up and testified, and this will be repeat for you, Jared, but I think it's important to say, it's what I said Wednesday, and that was that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you look at Nehemiah and the rebuilding of Jerusalem, they went through some horrific things. And they went back and they went to rebuild the walls. And as they were going to the walls, that was a tough endeavor. And yet, they in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, the people came together as one. They spoke as one man. And it says that in the first part of Nehemiah. Is they came as one. And they asked Ezra, the scribe, to come and bring the book of law. And we want you to read this to us. And because Ezra began to read the word, and they began to weep, and they began to fall on their faces, and they began to say, oh, you know, this is a wonderful thing, because they got understanding of the word. And it was just such a remarkable thing that I saw of this place, is that we come here hungry for the word of God. We come hungry for what God has for us. And as we become so hungry for that word, we come and we say, yes, this is the word of God. And in verse 10, he says, the prophet gets up and says, and the elders, they say, don't weep. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the only place that it says, is even though we use it such a familiar verse. And I was going, isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that, you know, when I think about strength, I don't think about joy. I think about strength as someone who's like intense, who's going, oh, you know, I've got to lift that thing, you know, or I've got to meet that opponent or that enemy. And the example that I got, you know, I watch MMA, and those guys, they're not happy. they're like got an enemy. They got someone they want to take down. And so I think about this, but the joy of the Lord is their strength. Jared came up here last week, and he talked about him being in his office and this man coming in like Eeyore. Oh, you guess you've heard about me. And Jared lifts up his head. He goes, well, I haven't heard. He goes, well, you know, I got diabetes. What did that mean to that man? To that man, he was going to go blind. To that man, they were going to cut off his legs. To that man, he was in desperate place. I have a disease that's going to overtake me. I have something that's going to happen to me, and I'm in a bad, bad place. And he comes to Jared. And across from that desk, Jared looks at him with the strength of the Lord. He says, I don't believe it. I don't believe that that's going to happen. The church came with the church right here, came with the voice of the Lord and said, we will not accept the disease. We will not accept a prognosis of what a doctor would say. We accept the word of the Lord. And we need to be lifters of the head. Yes, we need to take in the Word of God. And we need to work out anything that's holding us back. But then let's go on. And know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're delighted in God. There's so many scriptures that I delight myself in the Lord. I delight myself. And I'm not overburdened or downcast. The word of the Lord is going to come. And you know, you can't have victory without a problem. So when there's a problem, we're going to believe for the victory. We're going to have faith for what God is able to do. We're going to see the manifestation of the Lord. I want to encourage you to do something. I want you to go through the alphabet. I want you to expand your vocabulary for God. And I want you to go through the alphabet and use a descriptive word when you're praying to God. You're an all-consuming God. You're a beautiful God. You capture my heart, oh God. You're a delight, my Father. E-F-G-H-I. Last night I got stuck on J. But the reality is, let us get strong in the Lord. When we have the Word working in us, there's no need. Because you know why he said, know the joy of the Lord? They had just had a victory. They had just seen the Word of God, and they brought understanding. And in that, here's the difference. There was a man who believed something was wrong and he was going to die. And there was a man who believed in the Word of God and said, hey, it can be totally different. We're going to bring hope. We're going to bring a newness of life to these people. And I say, God, fix me so I can fix other people. Let's go. Let's go on. I'm ready for the next level, honestly. Honestly, I've been asking God, give me the next. Give me the next. What do you got to fix in me to get the next? And God is revealing some things to me in my heart. But I'm telling you, he's doing some things. If you ask, he's faithful. He's so faithful to let you know.
Talking about your generational thing.
I don't want this to be like all right, let's stop that and start this sort of thing. I don't believe it is. Craig just wanted me to share some of my experience from this week of meeting my first grandchild and how it's spoken to me spiritually. And on top of that, I'm taking flying lessons and learning some things about plotting courses and that sort of thing. And speaking to what Joseph said and even what Arthur's expounding on, and then bringing all this together in my head, I'm trying to make it make sense to me so I can make it make sense to you. God takes us where we are. When we meet God, he takes us at that point, whatever condition we're in. We've all experienced that. We were in sinful nature in our natural man. He took us at that point, and he saved us through Christ, and he set us on a course. And some people who would be satisfied with that much of God would be established on that course from then on and just end up in heaven, and that would be it. Whatever happened along the way would have very little to do with God. And I mentioned a few weeks ago in Wednesday night class, this idea of, it's called dead reckoning, and it comes from the word deduced reckoning about where you're going on a course, and it's the way you they used to sail across the sea. They knew where they started and knew where they pointed, and hoped in a little while they'd end up where they were going. And that's really all they knew is, which way, where did I start, which way am I headed, and how fast am I going? And so in a certain amount of time, I'll get somewhere. And that's how some people have dealt with their spiritual life in God. I know where I started, I received Christ, and I'm headed for heaven. And that's all I know. And that's all I care. But thank God that we have more. Because there's another way of getting somewhere. In flying, you can do that. You can head off in a direction, and you know you're flying 100 knots, and so you go north that many that fast for so many hours, you're going to get to this other place, unless the wind blows you somewhere else. By the way, it will. Because there's always wind to deal with in the natural and in the spiritual. And so you don't necessarily end up going where you thought you were going. But then there's another way of flying. It's called pilotage. It's checking things as you go, looking around and seeing the markers, seeing the landmarks. And, you know, God has established landmarks for us in our forefathers. He even established landmarks. He said, don't neglect those markers that were placed by your forefathers and brought you to a certain place. Don't neglect where I've taken the people of God and then have to go back and do that again. That's craziness. Recognize what God's done in the past and recognize where he's got you headed, and also be ready to change course when it's required. Changing course, doing something a little different, making adjustments, and being ready to do the next thing. God took me 27 years ago, this month, and from a single man, he gave me a wife, a saved wife, who he had predestined to be the one to draw me to God. By the way, that's what a believing wife is expected to do for an unbelieving husband, is to be a silent example of God's love so that he's drawn to God. And that's exactly what happened with me. 2 months after I was married, I was saved. Those of you who know Jim Hester, he had a really shocked look on his face when I walked up the aisle. Right here, I was sitting right back there, and I walked up the aisle. 2 months after he married us, thinking I was saved before he married us, or he wouldn't have done it. I think it's God's sovereign hand in that. But he had a really funny look on his face when he walked up and said, I'd like to receive Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was an odd thing to say in this place back then. But I knew that's what the Word said, so I said it. And so, anyway, I was saved that day and set on course. Everything's pretty good because I wasn't doing my job as a husband. It's pretty easy to just sit around and do nothing. My wife was handling all the stuff she wasn't supposed to be handling. But I was on a course. I was going to heaven. And so was she. She's going to have a harder time getting there just living with me. But somewhere along the way, there's a pilotage decision. I looked around in the midst of men coming to this place to share more of what God had for us. And I looked around and thought, man, am I off course? And so we make an adjustment. And it affected the generation that came. It affected my children. Because, I mean, I already had kids by this time. But they were young. Not too damaged by that point. But seriously, there was an opportunity for them to be damaged by my personality and my natural man. But God made a change in course for their sake. For their sake. And so we put our house in order. God did. By our letting him. And I became more of the husband he would have me to be, and more of the father he would have me to be. And my wife was able to just take her place as wife and mother instead of do-it-all person in the house. And so the house is set in order. And now, this last week, I got to meet the next generation of my family. And I want to show you a couple of things the Word says about grandchildren. Anna Marie pointed this out to me last week. In Ruth 4:15, if you can find Ruth, I always have a hard time finding Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth. So if you know where Joshua is, you're getting close. Get my papers out of the way. Ruth, what did I say, 4:15. So starting in 13, Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto you, this grandchild, okay? The grandchild shall be unto you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Turn to Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I want you to put that up in Amplified, if you would. Is that it? A good man leaves an inheritance, in brackets, of moral stability and goodness. We're not talking about money. We're not talking about money. We're talking about righteousness and a love of God and a spiritual life that they might not have attained otherwise. To his children's children. I just met the first one of those in my family. Man, this is hard to do. I mean, the emotion is indescribable. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. I guess that makes me an old man. It's okay. I've got a crown in my granddaughter. So the point I want to make is that I started out an unbeliever. Very quickly was saved because of a believing wife. Changed our family structure by God's hand. Raised up children believing God loved them and knowing God loved them and loving him and living for him. And now my daughter has a daughter. And to think that even my children don't have to live through what I live through. They don't have to go through those same things. Those markers, we look back in time and say, well, even before, back when my father-in-law, the man who gave my wife permission to marry me, even unbelieving at the time, he said he'll come around. He had an insight from God. Didn't line up with really what the word says. I just thank God he Ed does it his way. A believing father-in-law in this place, in this very building, an elder here, establishing some things, maybe legalistic, maybe bound up, but that's okay. It was coming along. And he came along and brought his family to a place with this believing woman for me. And then I am saved because of her testimony. And I come to Christ, and then we get our house in order, and we raise our children in this new kind of spiritual home. And now a new generation comes, and it will be even better in God for her. That's the way it's supposed to work. You invest in God and he pays you with grandchildren. I found that out this week. He pays me. I looked in the crib and I see this little girl. I said, that's the first member of the new generation of my family and God's. And she won't have to deal with stuff that we've dealt with or even what her mother's dealt with, because she's born into a household governed by God, protected and blessed by God. Of mother and father who already have come far beyond where we are, where I was when I had my first, when Sarah was born. I was so messed up as a father. I mean, I was a good guy. Well, I was okay. But I had a lot to learn in God, and thank God he brought men like Craig and Bruce and some others here to train us up in the ways of the Lord and to say, man, these things are out of whack. And you respond, and so you change your family tree. You change the tree because he prunes out the junk and nourishes the fruitfulness. And so years and years later, we're talking, 25 years later down the road after I had my baby, I see this new generation begin in my family, and I just realize that God has prepared the way for decades, wow, generations. Wow. We're going to take a picture here pretty soon with Ed and Beth and Sarah and Elizabeth, the four generations, wow, of believers brought through all kinds of junk by God for a purpose. What in the world will Elizabeth Grace do for God? I don't know if that red hair comes out. We don't know. I'm still thinking maybe it'll fall out, come back blonde. I don't know. But whatever it does, she has a purpose in God. God has a plan for her. He has spent generations preparing things for this child. And she has restored my life in my old age. Old man with a crown on. Sadly, there are old men with crowns of grandchildren. The crown's not very attractive because the family tree has been so fouled up for so long, they don't know God. Grandchildren come whether you do or not, many times. I mean, there are unbelieving families out there suffering through things, not knowing the direction, but thank God he has prepared generation on generation for my granddaughter's sake. It's a great place to be. Unbelievable. I know you know this trait. You can't describe it. I can talk up here all day, and I'll never impart the feeling. You know, everybody has kids, you know, and stuff, and it's not the same way. You know, you don't talk to people, parents, and they don't ever say things like, "Oh, it's just such a special place." They say, it's great to have kids. They'll say things like that. But they don't have that look on their face. Working up to this birth, every grandparent that I know has said something like, "You just won't believe it. It's so special." Okay. I'm thinking, I hope this comes on me because I don't feel it. Really. I remember, y'all know, John Paul Loyalist. I saw him one time, went over to work on the computers at the hospital over in Rankin, and he's over there, and he's got this shirt on, this T-shirt, has his handprints on it. Says something about grandpa or something. And I asked Susan, the other Susan, said, "So, did he always want to be a grandpa, or did that just come on him?" And she said, "Oh, it just kind of came on him, you know. It wasn't like he's not looking forward to it, but, you know, yeah, it just kind of came on him." I said, "Well, I have hope." And so Wednesday evening, I guess, it came on me. Standing there looking at that little girl and seeing the depth of what God has done. Amazing, amazing stuff. So you can call me Papa anytime you want. I'll answer. I'll answer. That's what I got.
Okay. Well, as Jimmy was sharing, and he was just talking about the difference with Elizabeth Grace from, you know, and I just muttered a statement that Craig heard me say, and I just said, "Born in Zion," because that's, you know, just the difference of having a child just born into a home that God has, you know, already visited and just done his work and established his kingdom, and there's just nothing like it, you know, and they're just going to grow up in his kingdom. And it's just that it's in Psalm somewhere, I'm not sure where it's at. No, I did not know. I just know Stephen that there's just nothing like, and that's our goal. And if, like you said though, but I mean, God, he comes in And he just changes the situation so that we can, you know, go from there and take it from there. But I shared this with you a long time ago. There is also a scripture that says, you have been a shelter, Lord, for many generations. And when I looked back, because I have a family tree in my kitchen of, you know, my natural family, going back, I think, to great-great-grandfather. But sad to say, I would look at things like that, and I would say, you know, there, as far as I know, there haven't been many generations, God, in my family that have known you. So I looked forward to when God, you know, visited us and saved us and caused us to be born again, and then had a daughter born in Zion, that, you know, it began. And so someday I'd desire to see that scripture with lots of family pictures. Yeah. That you've been a shelter for many generations.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to the guy that I manage his office. He has a son, had a birthday party, and I've known the family for a long time. I was good friends with one of their sons in high school. And the mother was there, and she had her foot bandaged up, or cast on it, actually. She had a messed up tendon in her foot. And she asked me to pray for her, and I said, well, you know, I'll see you later in the week, because it was a birthday party and all of that, so it wasn't really the time and the place. And so I went by there Saturday evening, and the car was gone and looked like nobody was home, so I didn't stop. And then I went back Sunday evening, and there were some other cars there that I wasn't familiar with. And she had her daughter. It's actually a granddaughter, but she adopted the daughter. She and her family and their children were there. And so went in there, and then they were in the kitchen just to finish eating. And then she came in, and her husband was there. And we sat down, her daughter had a son that I'd prayed for probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he had, I don't know what he got, but he couldn't hold food down for about 2 weeks. And he was maybe three and a half at the time. And he lost 10 pounds. And so, I mean, that's a pretty serious situation. And I went over there and prayed for him. And she said, well, he wasn't sick anymore after that. So, anyway, I went into a teaching on healing, and maybe a little bit more than they wanted, but I mean, it was maybe 25 minutes or something. But there was, you know, one guy was pretty, he was pretty, the daughter's husband was pretty receptive. And so, when I first came in there, her daughter said, do you do multiples? I said, multiples? What do you mean by multiples? And she said, well, my husband's back is hurting. And so I said, well, yeah, we, you know, I'll pray for one, and then I'll pray for the other one. But yeah, we can do multiples. So she maybe thought it was on an appointment basis, you know. So I went through the teaching on healing, and part of it was I'm God. God's our healer in Exodus 15:23. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. That's a covenant name, and that's one of the, when God relates to people, he relates to people on the basis of a covenant. That's where Jehovah comes in there. And so he's made a covenant with his people to be their healer. And then, of course, Jesus, he did the work on the cross. Himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, carried our pains. With his stripes we were healed. And then the kingdom aspect of it was, when Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand or near. And then he said, heal the sick as a sign that the kingdom is here. And then in Luke, that was in Matthew 10. In Luke 10, he said, heal the sick and say unto them, the kingdom of God is here. So you can do it either way. But the healing is a sign of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is here. We don't have it manifested in the sense of Jesus being here literally on the throne in Jerusalem. At some point, he's going to come to the earth and rule and reign and set up the 1,000 years and so forth. But the kingdom of God is here. I mean, the kingdom of God is here in this realm, and we're charged with preaching. It's the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. You don't have to be under the dominion of Satan anymore. You don't have to be tormented by Satan anymore. You can come under the lordship of Jesus. You confess Jesus as your Lord. I got to share the gospel with them too. So, but you can confess Jesus as your Lord. You can come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, and you can enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God. So I got to share the gospel in there with them. And so I prayed for the mother. Then I prayed for her son-in-law. And his back started feeling better. And then he had a brother there with him and a sister too, younger brother. I don't know about the sister, but the brother went back in the kitchen and he said, "Can you pray for my brother too?" And I said, "Yes." And he said he's got, I forgot what the word he used, but he has a lot of anxiety. You know, he's a young guy, maybe 18, 19, something like that. And if you listen to the, well, maybe I won't go off into some of the stuff, but I mean, you could understand how someone could have a lot of anxiety if they don't know God in this world anyway. So I was thinking about the environmentalists and stuff, so, but anyway. But, I mean, that stuff, if you listen to it, I mean, it would cause you a lot of anxiety, so. But anyway, so I said, you know, to really get peace, you need to get the foundation right, and that is you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so, the older man of the family, I led him in a prayer of salvation. And then I led this younger man in a prayer of salvation, and he was honest and he was sincere. And then I prayed for him and gave him my card so they could have my phone numbers to call me if they wanted to. So anyway, it was good to see God move in the family and bring the kingdom of God to them. Healing is part and parcel of the gospel. Healing is part and parcel of the kingdom. So, you know, sometimes we get to focusing just on our life, the benefits that we can get and so forth, and we're just focused on that. But God wants to raise us up to impact others. See, we've got to invest in future generations that are now, but we've got to invest in people. We're going to lose this country if we don't invest in people, young, old, middle-aged, whatever. We've got to expand the gospel. And I've read some man had something on Elijah List, and he said, true disciples make disciples. See, look at yourself, look at your training. Don't just look at it, well, I'm just kind of getting in it so I can get my benefits and enjoy the blessings of God. But take the mindset, I've got to be trained so I can train others. See, we've got a purpose outside ourselves for being here. You know, we've got a mission to accomplish. Jesus didn't want the gospel just to stop with us. God forbid. You know, we've got to take it, apply it to our lives, turn around and make disciples of other people. Not that you force things. I mean, that wasn't even Jesus' way. But you share the good news, you live your life, and God's going to expand this thing. But you've got a purpose outside of just getting blessed yourself, you know, though God wants to do that, and that's very important. But, you know, we're in a great place to be trained. We're being trained. But have that mindset, you know, I'm trained to train and develop others, and we're going to see the kingdom increase.
You know, I was hearing him talk, you know, the testimonies of God, they're even weightier because it's something that God worked in you. And he's talking stuff about the testimonies of God. And what I want you to do with your eyes closed, and there's men in the house and guys that have families, and if you don't have a family, if what I want to happen is from the essence that he spoke and what he said through the testimony of God of the next generation, if you want prayer for that and to set the course, some of you are already doing it. It's already set in motion, but there is impartations. I want Jimmy to pray from that order of heart that he was communicating from, just to say that God agree with you and say, you know what, you're setting the course. I told you last week, one confession changes your direction, changes the generation. It happens for all of us. The moment you said Jesus is Lord, boom, it's set in motion. And that's the reality of God. But you want a prayer, an impartation on that. I want him to do that. I believe that that's in his heart to do for the next generation. I could tell it's a testimony of God. So if you would, if you want to come up, anybody who wants prayer on that area, anyone else that wants prayer in general, not a man, anybody that needs prayer, over here on the right, Jimmy's going to pray for you, yeah. And anybody who needs prayer for anything on the left. But you men come up and he can impart that. And Paul said, I long to see you that I can impart some spiritual gifts. And just impart, let him impart to you. That's the workmanship of God, the masterpiece of God that he worked in him. Amen. And we need that. We need the next generation of men to be men. We need the next generation to further the God's kingdom in a real way. But that's that. Now, if you need prayer for anything else, I mean anything else, while he's ministering here, just come on up here. Man, woman, child, whatever. You need something in your body that needs to be healed. Whatever. Whatever it is, you can come up here. If you need prayer over here, come on up over here. Anything. As she's playing. And it's a great day. It's a family day. Anyone need prayer, just come on up. If you're a man and you want agreement, God, to further that area, come on up. Sons and daughters, and God, I thank you for every person here that is functioning as a priest, functions this week as a priest. That God, we're not pretending, we're longing for your presence, we're functioning. And God, I thank you for the testimonies that Tom has said, God, just doing the stuff, just doing the work of God. Put your hand over your heart. I want you to know, Tom, he came up here and said, I'm just testifying of God. It's not about a pulpit. It's not about a position. It's just doing the stuff. And he's doing it. Amen. Say, I'm doing it, God. Say, God, greater works in me. Greater works in my generation. Greater works in me and greater works with me. Everywhere I go. Speaking love to people that need to be loved. Bringing light to people that are in darkness. Bringing maturity to those that are riding the fence and kind of sort of know you. So, Father, release this place. I appreciate the testimonies today. I appreciate you breaking bread through many members of your body today. That this is a house day, equipping of the saints through the saints. And I thank you so much for it. It's a privilege to hear you at work in every one of us. Not just one of us, every one of us.
Yes.
And Father, you're doing the stuff that we're asking you to do. We ask for a functioning body. We ask for a function, and you did it today. First fruits, dreams, some with dreams, some with testimonies, words of healing. Everyone has when we come together. One more thing I want you to do. Say, God, from this day forward, I'm your priest. And when I come, I'm preparing myself before I even come here. I'm preparing myself to worship you. I'm preparing myself to function with you. And I'm not waiting for any man. I'm not waiting for anybody. And I'm not. Look at Tom. Look at Tom. Tom. What, look at Tom. You would think that in the old order, that has to be some type of pastor that made a visit to a house. That was Tom. Just going and doing the work of God. Lift up the standard as he made it. Amen? Let's lift up the standard. Everywhere you go. And say, God, when I come, everywhere I go, I'm prepared. I'm taking a moment to let you program me. And then send me. My job, everywhere I go, when I come here to worship, I want you to know that. You come ready. I don't know a service that Anna and myself, when we were in East Texas, didn't go in the bathroom and say, God, make me ready. Make me ready. Yeah, for everyone in society, when I come to the assembly, make me ready. I want to see what you're saying. I want to hear you. I'm not waiting for just one leader. I'm listening. I want you to come like that. You watch what God will do in this place. He's already doing it. Thank him, will you? Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Father, send us out.
Psalm 78 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength. And his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for a testimony. Thank you for your goodness to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.